Let's Visit is Northern Community Radio's opportunity to dig a little deeper into a northern Minnesota town or region. We visited Nisswa in December, and in this segment, I'm going to talk with a Nisswa historian, Mr. Dick Carlson.
I like to call it the town that almost never was, because we were up here, we had no railroad. There was a railroad that went through Brainerd. However, we were 12 to 14 miles away. So finally, the people organized a small railroad backed by the NP, and we did get a railroad coming up toward us. However, they didn't stop in the area where Nisswa would be. They went straight over to what is today Lakeshore, Minnesota. And when they got to Lakeshore, Minnesota, they looked at the terrain because they wanted to get to Walker. So they looked at the terrain, and it was nothing but hills and swamp and stuff. So they hired an engineer that had helped bring the Wisconsin Central up through the middle of Wisconsin. It was because that area was much the same type of terrain. Mm-hmm. So when he got here, he told them, in essence, you're not getting there from here. So they had to tear up a 600-foot trestle that they had built across Upper Gull Lake, and also all the track from where Hubert was to where they had gotten. So they came back to the top part of Lake Hubert. Then they made a wide circle, and they went around through what then became Nisswa, which was basically the Murray Farm.
Wow, when was this all happening?
This was 1896. Now, it takes a while to build the railroads, but we have to set a certain date, and so we say 1896, that it was about ready to take off.
That is Dick Carlson. He is the president of the Nisswa Historical Society. He's a wealth of knowledge in regard to Nisswa, Minnesota history. And we'll be checking with him during this edition of Let's Visit. This month, we're taking a closer look at Nisswa. Nisswa has a lot to offer its visitors. In the winter, of course, it's ice fishing and snowmobiling, cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. And in the warmer months, there are the weekly turtle races, boating, hiking, biking. And every August, Nisswa takes part in the Lakes Area Music Festival, featuring classical music experiences ranging from chamber orchestras to outdoor yoga classes accompanied by professional cellists. The Paul Bunyan Trail goes right through town, and as you pull into Nisswa from the highway, you are greeted with the sign declaring the fabled Nisswa, Minnesota's pretty good shopping. And that it is. The town is a hustling, bustling example of hometown pride. You won't find a chain store or a chain restaurant in Nisswa, Minnesota, but what you will find is a main street full of boutiques, specialty stores, coffee shops, and generally joyful shopping. There is literally a waiting list for businesses who want a storefront in Nisswa, Minnesota. It is the quintessential tourist town where you can generally find good food, a good vibe, and a good time. I'm Katie Carter, and I am your host for Let's Visit. Dick Carlson is the president of the Nisswa Historical Society, and he was kind enough to take some time and talk with me about many things Nisswa related, one of which was how the town got its name.
We had a man who applied for a post office. His name was Ernest Smiley, and he applied for it in the name of Hills Crossing. Well, obviously, in Minnesota, everything and their brother was named James J. Hill after, of course, the empire builder of the Great Northern. So the government arbitrarily sent back the name of what would have been the post office, which would have been, of course, the name of the town, and they sent it back as Smiley. They claimed the people voted on it and agreed to it, and that was fine. Well, around 1908, they decided that they should have a name that more aptly honored the Native American population that had been here. So Leon Lum, who in himself was very interesting because he was in the legislature and he's the one that introduced the bill to abolish capital punishment in Minnesota, and he was a brilliant, he was the county attorney, and so he proposed the name Nisswa. Now, it should have had an E in the end of it, but that got dropped because it would have been difficult for people to pronounce. And the name Nisswa means three. And the reason for that is that the Ojibwe were canoe people, not pony people like the rest of the people in the country. And so that they called the area three because there were three lakes that they had to go through to get from Gull Lake, which was a big lake, to Hubert, which was a big lake. So those lakes today, at that time they were called Lower, Upper, and Middle Fish Trap. Today they're called Clark, Nisswa, and Roy. And so that's how we got the name. And I'm glad because I really like that name.
I find the town darling. It's a darling community. The downtown is so sweet with, it just seems very intentional.
No, the downtown in the old saying grew like Topsy. What happened was as soon as the railroad came, the time to get from the Twin Cities to here went from 4 days to 6 hours, roughly, from noon to 6 o'clock in the evening. And so what happened was suddenly we had this huge influx of tourists, and we also, what was great, we had the personalities of people that were great hospitality people. In other words, when you came here, you knew you were welcome. So you would come up here and land about 6 o'clock. Then you would go, if you wanted to go to the other side of Gull Lake, there was what they called launches, gasoline launches or steam launches, whichever what time it was. And so from there, you would go to the opposite side of Gull Lake and all the way along to what little resorts and that type of thing there were. And I talked to the captain of that, and he said that he would start out from here at about a little after 6, and he'd end up back at home, which is in Rocky Point, and that would be 8 miles, and then he'd be home around midnight and that type of thing. So anyway, that launch service, and interesting enough, if you've ever heard of Mills Fleet Farm, Casper Mills owned one of the launches, and so his sons, of course, then went into the Fleet Farm business. I'm talking tourism now, but yeah. Of course, summer homes, everybody including us came here because, you know, we wanted a summer home. It's a great way to raise your children.
Yes.
And, you know, depending on whether you want the big lake, the small lake, or whatever, and we've got boats that'll go a bazillion miles an hour, and we have little kids rowing all around in the middle, although the nice part about it is that the lakes, especially the small ones, and that's what we chose for our kids, they can be out rowing on it when they're little, then when they get a little bit bigger, they can have outboard motor on it, and they can develop then, as my older son, into an inboard. And so, you know, they can grow up with the lake, or the lake can grow up with them, or whatever you want to call it. So,
yeah. When I go to Nisswa, I still feel that hospitable vibe that you were just...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we welcome anybody here. And, of course, it's our living, so, you know, we want to cater to the people, and they're awfully nice people to cater to because the people that come up are very, very nice. Now, what happened, of course, was everybody who was living up here or whatever, if they saw the chance or could build, they would build these little cabins. At one time, there were what you would be called about almost 200, and now that not just in this one, I'm talking about the whole area around here, there would be like 200 small resorts that could be either between two cabins and, or one or two cabins, or just up to six. And then, of course, in came a man who had been a developer in Minneapolis with his capital, and he put up Grandview Lodge. And so Grandview Lodge didn't begin as a lodge. It began as a real estate development. So in other words, you could come and buy Lakeshore on Gull Lake. Well, because you came up for the real estate, you had to have a place to stay, so that's why he started Grandview Lodge. And then also that you had a place to eat, so Grandview had dinners, breakfasts, and whatever you wanted to eat. So Grandview Lodge developed from what had been a real estate development, and so that people could have a place to stay when they were here.
That was the president of the Nisswa Historical Society, Dick Carlson. He was talking about the industry and development of the Nisswa area. Nisswa is our feature community in this edition of Let's Visit. Let's Visit is made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and by the people of Minnesota.